Back in July, I was walking in the Scottish hills, and we were climbing one particular hill when the mist descended. A photo will be coming up. It looked a bit like that. We probably couldn't see more than 10 meters in any direction. Now, I was walking with a pretty experienced group. My brother-in-law is a qualified mountain leader, and he was navigating. We managed to make it to the top, and once we got there, we rested in a stone shelter that had been built on the summit. We admired what would have been a lovely view, and after a while, we headed off down the hill. Now, we had to walk about a mile down the plateau to find the path that would take us off the hill. And after we'd been walking for about 30 minutes, we began to wonder why we hadn't found the path yet. But nevertheless, we pressed on. And 10 minutes passed, we kept walking. Another 10 minutes passed, and then another 10. And then over an hour after we'd set off from the top, out of the mist appeared the stone shelter that marked the summit of the hill. Over an hour after we left the top, we'd ended up back where we started. Without knowing it, and trying to walk in a straight line, we'd walked in a complete circle for over an hour. We just couldn't see. If the mist had risen, even just for a minute, we'd have been absolutely fine. We'd have immediately known where we were. We really had not traveled very far in that hour. But we just couldn't see. And in our blindness, we thought we knew where we were going. We thought we were on the right track. And our passage today shows that is the default state of humanity. By nature, we think we're on the right track. But in reality, we are blind and going nowhere. We're continuing and finishing our series in the first two chapters of 1 Corinthians today. We're looking at verses 6 to 10, but Helen helpfully read from verse 4, because that's really helpful context for where we are today. And we've seen over the first two chapters that Paul is addressing a deeply troubled church, a church that is divided around leaders and obsessed with a worldly wisdom that looks and sounds good. Paul is pleading with the church to remember the gospel of Jesus Christ, a gospel that isn't based on human wisdom, but is based on the power of God. And against that background, we get to verse 6 in today's passage. Verses 6 to 8 tell us where we find true wisdom. It contrasts true wisdom with empty wisdom. It is a difference between seeing the right path with clarity and walking around in circles in the mist. Please read those verses with me again. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Here's what we need to hear. Worldly wisdom is empty. Verse 6 tells us that worldly wisdom and its champions are coming to nothing. And what is this worldly wisdom? Well, we see in verse 7, it's contrasted to God's wisdom. So worldly wisdom is anything that doesn't come from God. It is the words of today's cultural leaders that sound so profound and progressive. And just like the Corinthian church, we can find that so very attractive. But we have to remember that it's empty. Now, of course, there is real value to be found in aspects of secular thought. That is the work of God's common grace. But nothing the world offers can provide the insight and fulfillment and joy that can be found only in the Lord Jesus. Following the wisdom of this world is like walking around in the mist on the top of a hillside. You might think you've got it sorted, but you're going nowhere. Last week, at the start of church, wee Bobby Morgan offered me a club chocolate bar. I thought that was very generous and so gladly accepted. Except Bob had already eaten the chocolate bar, and had carefully refolded and propped up the wrapper to make it look intact. 1-0 to Bob. But that is exactly what worldly wisdom offers. It might look good, it might look like it offers something, but it's empty, and it crumples in your hand. And actually, it isn't just empty. Verse 8, as we see there, points out that the cultural and political leaders at the time Paul was writing didn't just offer empty wisdom. They murdered the innocent Son of God. And we shouldn't be surprised when the cultural leaders of today strongly oppose God and his word. Worldly wisdom is opposed to God, and we ought to be very wary of it. Worldly wisdom is empty. That's why Paul doesn't want the faith of the Corinthian church to rest in it, as Greg pointed out last week. Worldly wisdom is empty, but God's wisdom is not. Please look down at verse 7 again. Paul says that we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden. God's wisdom is a mystery. It cannot be discovered by human intellect. It's hidden, as we see in verse 7. And so the obvious question is, what is God's wisdom? This hidden mystery that Paul declares. Well, we've seen so far in 1 Corinthians that Paul's been really clear as to what his message is. It is Jesus Christ and him crucified. It is, as verse 18 of chapter 1 tells us, the message of the cross. And it's hidden because, again, as we see in verse 18 of chapter 1, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. That the message, it makes no sense. It's like water off a duck's back. The message of the cross is hidden because our default as sinful humanity is to be walking around in circles in the mist, blind to the reality of who Jesus is. And so God's wisdom is the mystery of the message of the cross. And as verse 7 says, this mystery has been destined for our glory before time began. It is destined for our glory, and yet, as we see in verse 8, it was the Lord of glory who was crucified. We draw that together and we see this is the message. That in his divine sovereignty, Jesus Christ died for wretched sinners as planned from the beginning of time, and he rose as our risen king, so that whoever will put their trust in him will be glorified with him in splendor and majesty forevermore. That is the message of the cross. That is true wisdom, and that's what verses 6 to 8 tell us. True wisdom is God's wisdom. It is the gospel of Jesus, the hope of eternal life with Jesus by grace through faith in him. Let's not rush on to the rest of the passage without praising God in our hearts for that. The wisdom of this infinitely powerful God is the message that Jesus Christ died for sinners. Praise him for that. And as we move on then, here's the obvious problem that seems to arise. If God's wisdom is hidden, and it's a mystery, unobtainable by human intellect, how can we ever know it? Aren't we still walking around in circles in the mist? Well, verses 9 to 10 help us with that. And please read those verses with me again from verse 9. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. God has revealed his wisdom by his Spirit. In verse 9 there, we see Paul quote from Isaiah 64 to reiterate the impossibility of us working out God's plan. The riches of eternal life that God has prepared for those who love him. No human eye or ear or mind could ever stumble across that. And yet, it is those very things, that very wisdom, that as verse 10 tells us, has been revealed by the Spirit. Paul here, he's saying that God can bring us out of the mist. That is what it means, that God has revealed the mystery of his wisdom, the message of the cross, by his Spirit. We couldn't know these things if God didn't reveal them. We couldn't. But God has revealed them by his Spirit. And then verses 11 to 12 show us that this makes sense because of who the Spirit is. The Spirit is God, and so is able to reveal God's wisdom. Please read the second half of verse 10 into verse 11 with me again. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. People can't mind read. We don't know each other's thoughts. And the same way that only you know your thoughts, only God knows and can reveal the thoughts of God. That's what verse 11 is saying. The Spirit is able to reveal God's wisdom because he is the Spirit of God and so knows God's thoughts. And it is that Spirit, it is he who all Christians have received. And please read verse 12 with me again. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. The Spirit is God and is from God, so that we can know the message of the cross. God has freely given the hope of eternal life with him through Jesus to all who will believe. And he has sent the Spirit so that we can understand that. That is what verse 9 to 12 shows us. And one implication for us is that in our evangelism, we really need to pray. It is a miracle of God in opening blind eyes when someone puts their faith in Jesus Christ. And so on Wednesday mornings, as a church family and individually throughout the week, let's be praying to ask our sovereign and kind and loving Father to open people's eyes to the message of the cross. And so Paul here, he's talking about wisdom that God gives to enable sinners to understand the message of the cross, the gospel. He isn't talking about differing levels of wisdom between Christians. We see that after quoting Isaiah in verse 9, and Isaiah is an Old Testament prophet who is a mouthpiece for the word of God, in verse 10, Paul talks about the work of the Spirit to reveal these things. So the Spirit enables someone to understand the gospel and to trust Jesus by enabling them to understand what the Spirit has revealed in the Word of God. That's what Paul is saying here. The Spirit enables all Christians at the moment of conversion to understand God's wisdom in his inspired Word. And actually, that's unpacked more in the next few verses. So please read verses 13 to 16 with me again. This is what we speak, not in words taught us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. In verse 13, Paul refers to speaking in Spirit-taught words to explain spiritual realities. Now, Paul spoke with apostolic authority, as someone with a unique commission from God. But the words that the Spirit inspired in Paul and in others constitute the Bible. God's word is just that the Spirit-inspired revelation of the mystery of God, the gospel of Christ. And so what an astonishing privilege it is to hear the word of God as we read or listen to the Bible. It is a remarkable, life-giving, mist-removing gift from God. Life Church Brackley, let's not make the same mistake as the Corinthian church by neglecting the wisdom of God. In his word, he has revealed the good news of Jesus, and he enables us to understand that by his spirit. It would be wonderful as a church family if we committed to spending time every day this week ingesting the word of God, even if just for 2 minutes a day. Not because we have to, but because we get to. It's an astonishing privilege when we open our Bibles. And if you don't have a Bible, whether written or in audio, we'd love to give you one. So please do grab me afterwards and we can sort that out. And as we go, let's remember that it is only by the work of the Spirit that we can understand the revelation of God's wisdom, the gospel in his word. Verse 14 says that those without the Spirit, that is, someone who isn't yet a Christian, considers the things of God to be foolishness. And that should again ring the bell of chapter 1, verse 18. It is the message of the cross that Jesus died and rose so that all who trust him will be with him forever in glory that people think is foolish. And again, these verses aren't talking about a personal and specific revelation by the Spirit to individual Christians. These particular verses are talking about how the Spirit enables us to understand the message of the cross as revealed in the Word of God. And please look closely at verse 14. The person without the Spirit, someone who's not yet a Christian, does not accept the things of the Spirit, and indeed cannot understand them. In this country, if a person assists with a crime being committed by turning a blind eye to what's happening, they can still be convicted under what is called willful blindness. They might not know the details of the crime, but that's only because they didn't want to know them. And verse 14 tells us of the willful blindness of humanity before God. Now, the default state of humanity is that we are actually blind to God's wisdom. We don't just look the other way and cover our eyes. In our sinful nature, humanity is blind to the gospel of God. And yet, it is a willful blindness. It comes from our sinful desire to reject and ignore the God who made us. The default state of humanity, without the Spirit, is that we do not and cannot accept the wisdom of God. Humanity is willfully blind to the glory of Jesus Christ. His mystery, as we saw in verse 7, is hidden. And that is why we so desperately need God to open our eyes by his Spirit. And if you aren't a Christian here today, then that is exactly what God has promised to do if you'll trust him. God will open the eyes of anyone who puts their faith in him. He has given us his word and sent his Spirit so that you can believe in the Lord Jesus and be saved. You do have a choice today to trust him. And I plead with you to do that. The door is open to all who will knock. It is only by the Spirit of God opening our eyes to his word that we may see and understand the gospel of Jesus Christ. That we are sinners deserving of hell, who the Lord of glory bought with his own blood because he loves us and wants to spend eternity with us. That is God's wisdom. And it is only by the Spirit's work that the Christian can understand that. That's what verse 15 says when it mentions the Christian making judgments about all things and not being subject to merely human judgments. That means that Christians can know reality, they can see reality, because they don't just see things from an earthly perspective. They can assess the situation. That's what it means when it says making judgments about all things. Because they don't just see it from a human perspective. And as verse 16 says, that's because the Christian has the mind of Christ through the Spirit of God opening their eyes to his wisdom. Now, let's not neglect that and default back to the muscle memory of willful blindness. Because actually, if God's wisdom is revealed in God's word, then we need to be really cautious about our desires and wants that stem from anywhere other than that. We need to make sure that we're living in light of true wisdom, in light of God's word, not empty human wisdom. And so we need to hear God's word. The Corinthian church thought they were being also very spiritual with their wisdom and unique insight. But in chapter 3, Paul tells them that they're living just like people of the world. They're not living as God's people. They turn their back on his word. Because this is what it comes down to. If you're a Christian, God has opened your eyes to his mystery, the message of the cross on which Jesus died, so that by the Spirit of God, you can understand what God has revealed in his word. And that gives us the mind of Christ, so that we can live by faith. God's wisdom is revealed in God's word, so that we can live God's way. That is how we live as God's people today, in everyday life as Christians over the next week. I pray that we'll remember that God's wisdom is revealed in God's word, so that we can live God's way. The default state of a sinful humanity is to be walking around blindly in circles. It's like we're stuck in the mist on the top of a Scottish hillside. We're blind, and even if we think we know where we're going, we're just going around in circles. It's hopeless. And yet, God has revealed his wisdom in his word so that we can live his way. So with the mind of Christ, we are liberated from the mist. We are able to see and understand the message of the cross. And only because of the work of God. Our only boast is to boast in the Lord. As we sang earlier, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. May all the glory be to God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your wisdom that you have revealed to us. Thank you for the message of the cross, that although we deserve to face your wrath, you have bought us with the price of Jesus' blood. Would we never forget that? And would we live lives of praise and worship to you in response, knowing that you are so good and that you love us so much? We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.